Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
If you open up your bulletin in the midsection, you're going to have a copy of our sermon notes, which we're going to be using this morning as we continue to take that journey and discover what God is trying to do through Christmas. How many of you this morning have cell phones? Most of us do. How do you like cell phones? If you talk to my family, and I encourage you not to do that, you will find that I tend to be cell phone challenged. I don't carry it with me very much. And usually, if I do carry my cell phone with me, I keep it turned off, which kind of defeats the purpose. But part of the reason for that, and I don't know if you have the same thing, that when you have a cell phone with you, people can get in touch with you whenever they want to, whenever they want to, but maybe not always when you want to. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but as I was thinking about this week, maybe there's this aversion of being interrupted, of having your schedule interrupted. Have you ever had that, where maybe you're in a meeting or you're visiting someone and there's kind of a very quiet, a very sensitive time, and your cell phone goes off, like in church or at a funeral or at a very special family time, and right in the middle of a very special emotional time, the phone goes off. Oftentimes, we want to avoid interruptions in our life, or we want to control when those interruptions happen. And yet, when we think about Christmas, when you think about the journey and all of the characters that took part in the Christmas story, you know them all: Mary, Joseph, Elizabeth, Zechariah, the shepherds, all of those people that took part in what we consider the Christmas story, all of them had their lives interrupted in a pretty substantial way. And so I began thinking about Christmas. What is the essence of what Christmas is all about? Christmas is really about God trying to interrupt our normal life, our normal, boring, predictable, and sometimes destructive lives, in order to break in. At the end of, in the book of Revelations, Jesus says, "I stand at the door and knock." Christmas is about God trying to break in to our lives. And I wonder this morning, as we've gathered, and I know that you've probably got rolling through your heads maybe other gifts that you have to buy, other preparations that you're trying to get ready for, that even today, even this morning, God is trying to break into your life. He's trying to interrupt the normal path that you set before yourself, the journey that you're on, and he's trying to say, is this really what your life is about? I have better things for you that I'd like to do. And so we began talking about, what does it mean to be on that journey? What is God trying to do in our lives? We began by thinking about all of the things that are possible. This morning, I want to take a look at another set of characters, people that you know very well. We don't know a lot about them. We just know that their lives were interrupted. Their normal day-to-day lives and journey were interrupted, and they had something revealed to them that changed their whole perspective. And you'll begin to see how their lives are, at the end of the story, is completely different than from the beginning. And as we go through this message this morning, I would just want you to put somewhere in the back of your mind, are you willing to have your life interrupted? Or are you allowing the message to just kind of wash over you, pass by you, and just keep going on doing what you've been doing? Are you willing to take a look and say, is God trying to interrupt my life in a way that will bring me more joy and more meaning than I ever thought possible. This morning we're going to take a look at a passage out of Luke's gospel, and we're going to understand that God can even break in to the routines of our careers that we set out before us. As we do so, let us open up the Word of God and let it speak to us. We're going to start with Luke chapter 1. Would you join with me as we share what's on the screen? This is God's Word for my life in this place and at this time. Today, I'm a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I know He has a purpose for my life. Reading from Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping a watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be assigned to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared to the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord told us about." So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, just as they had been told. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Father God, we have come this morning to have our lives changed, to be lifted and to be transformed by the experience of being with you and with one another. In Jesus' name, amen. In this passage, we have an interesting story. We have the shepherds that are out in a field, and you can imagine what that might have been like in that day and time to be out, just out in the open, watching sheep. That was your whole job. And for shepherds, if you look up the historical part of this story, you find that shepherds were often the outcasts of society. They were often always around sheep. They were often always dirty. They were kind of outside the city walls. They were kind of the lowlifes of the community. You can imagine taking somebody and saying, "Well, at least they can watch sheep, right? Just make sure that the sheep don't get into trouble. They don't wander around." Not very technical. But it is to these people that God comes, to these people. And if you do a little study, you find that there's two main themes that why God came to the shepherds. First of all, that they are the lowest of the low. They are the poorest. There isn't a whole lot less than looking after animals, just staring at them all day. The second reason is because throughout the story, throughout the narrative, Jesus becomes or is reflected as the Lamb of God. And so God comes to the shepherds as He reveals the coming of the Lamb of God. But for us, As we come into the sanctuary this morning, God is inviting you into an awakening. There is for all of us a sense of slumber that can overcome us about habits, about rituals, about just going through the motions. Every Christmas, we take our trees and we put them up. We decorate them the same way. We take them down in January. We put them away because we know that the cycle will repeat endlessly. And I often think about that part of, have you ever watched that cartoon, for those of you that are older, of the Jetsons? You know, of George trying to walk Astro, and they have this new kind of treadmill that they're on, and pretty soon it keeps going faster and faster. Astro hops off, and you hear this voice, as George keeps going around and around and he says, Jane, stop this crazy thing. If there is anything, as you look at busyness of life, as you go to Walmart, if you go to any of the malls, if you start walking around, you'll start seeing people that are going around that loop. Will somebody please help me stop this crazy thing? I get up in the morning, I go to work, I come home, I get a paycheck in order to keep doing the same things. Is there anything in your life that awakens you to something profound, something beautiful, something majestic, for which your life is sacred? Imagine being a shepherd this morning. There's nothing really special about you. You're out watching sheep, and what do sheep do? They eat, they make little sheep, and they give wool. That's about it. And then when they're done, we eat them. What is special about sheep? What is special about you? Well, this morning, God is coming into your life and saying, will you listen to my story? For the past couple of weeks, we've been saying part of this awakening is to understand something about our lives and about our church and our community. Number one that we've been talking about is there is more that is going on here than what you realize. It isn't just about First Church, and it isn't just about Williamstown or Marietta. It's a global thing that is ongoing, that God is doing, and we are a part of it. Do you see your role in the global movement of God across the earth and how we are part of that? God is doing something amazing. The second thing that we've come across is that there is more to you than what you realize. God comes to Mary, and Mary says, but how can this be? Because I'm only a virgin. And many of us say, God can't use me. God can't use me to bear witness. I'm not an apostle. I'm not a saint. I'm only whatever your name is. And yet God moved within her life, and centuries have called her blessed. God has placed you here for a very special reason in this place and at this time. And finally, there is more to you than you know. And third, you are more important than what you realize. Most of us kind of say, well, I'm just one of many, and I'm sure somebody else will take care of it. But God wants to use you this morning. So this morning, as we look at this passage, I want you to see it through the lens of an awakening, of God trying to reach into your life, into your normal everyday routine, and call you out to something more profound, something more phenomenal. As a matter of fact, if you look at the beginning of this passage, as the angels come, and they speak to the shepherds. How do they frame it? How do they say it? They say, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. It would have been so easy to say, a Savior has been born to Israel. A Savior has been born to the Jews. But he's been born to you as an individual. Where you are right now, what your name is with your own DNA, God has been born to you. So the choice remains with you. The first thing that we want to understand about this passage that I want to try and draw out of it if I can is to say that God will always interrupt in order to disrupt. There are times when God has got to disrupt your monotonous journey to kind of shake it up. You see, sometimes we like to get into habits, we like to get into rituals, and we like to get into very predictable systems. And whenever God interrupts, it's in order to disrupt, in order to kind of shake our apple cart a little bit, in order for us to see things differently. I want you to think a little bit about what it's like to be a shepherd. All right? How do you see the world if that's all that you do? And then I want you to think about, as us here in the West, in this part of the Mid-Ohio Valley, what does it mean for us and how are we similar? I want you to think about this. Have you ever heard this phrase before? If all you have is a hammer, then everything looks like a nail. If that's what you have, then that's how you interpret the world. If you have a hammer, then whatever you're looking at looks like a nail. It looks like something you ought to whack with a hammer. Whether it should be whacked or not, that's how you view the world. And sometimes we get in that habit as well. So I began playing with this a little bit. And I want you to see if this makes sense to you. If all you have are sheep, then everything is for sale. If all you have is sheep, if that's what you're surrounded by, if that's what dominates your life, maybe it's your job, maybe it's your career, maybe it's what you earn, how you look, if everything that surrounds your identity is about sheep, about the wool that they produce, about how they can be marketed, then everything becomes for sale, including you. And pretty soon you begin to look at yourself through those lenses and say, what am I worth? What is my value? What am I worth on the open market? You begin to look at yourself and others, and you begin to put a price tag on it. Is it really worth my time? Is it really worth my resources? Is it really worth what I have? If all you have are things, if that's your primary focus about your possessions, if all I have are things, then guess what? Everything can be replaced. All you have to do is go to the stores. And what do you find? This product is newer, bigger, better. If that's your focus about getting new technology, about getting new clothes, something new, always more, about consuming more, then pretty soon all that we're about are the things that we have, and we find that things wear out, including you. And we begin to look at ourselves, and we begin to ask, have I worn out? Am I of value anymore? One of the great things, and we're so lucky, you have no idea how lucky we are to have somebody like Marilyn and her, the people that work with her, to make sure that our shut-ins and the people that are sick and the people that are grieving always have somebody that is an advocate for them. That no matter how old you get, you're never without value. You're never without purpose or without meaning. I want you to see if this holds true for you. If all you have is God in your life, if that's your primary purpose, if that's your primary focus, then everything that you see becomes beautiful and glorious. God is able to do amazing things through you, including you. You begin to interpret and you begin to see other people through the lens that God created for them. You begin to look at shepherds and say, but God created these special people. There's something beautiful and glorious about them. Maybe today, if you ever make it to the store and you're kind of going through those long checkout lines, and while you're waiting, you begin to become aware of all of the glorious people that are gathered around you. Some of them that are off task and some of them that are like the Jetsons going around, but God is working in their life as well. You see, when God interrupts your life, it's in order to disrupt the normal patterns, normal habits that we can fall into. Are you willing to allow yourself to be a little bit disrupted? God also interrupts in order to inspire us. Look at what happens to these common, ordinary shepherds. I can imagine that their gaze is primarily on one plane. They're looking at sheep. They're looking at sheep and they're looking for threats. Are the sheep wandering away? And we tend to do that as well. During the year, we'll be consumed with what we have to do. What's happening here? What's going on with your life? What's your schedule? What's your career patterns? The first thing that God does is he elevates their point of view. The angels come and they begin to sing. You see, poverty isn't just about not having financial resources. It's about the absence of hope. about having all of the resources necessary in life, having an abundance and overflowing, but having nothing to do with it, about going nowhere, about no plans or nothing that inspires you. The first thing that God does to these lowest shepherds is he elevates their gaze. He inspires them to something more important. I love the way Luke tells this story because he says that these shepherds that were watching the fields, they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. They hurried off. They were so excited. They had a purpose and a meaning to their life. They were joyful to be a part of what God was doing. God had revealed something powerful to their lives. This past couple of weeks, we've been talking about preparing these little packages, these Christmas packages for the boys in Haiti. And what was wonderful is when we put that out in the first day, we had probably about 20 or so of these packages. They were all gone. People were excited to be a part of an international movement. And I wonder this morning as you gather, is Christmas this morning about what it's going to be under the tree for you and your family? Or is it about something grander that is just beginning in your life? Something glorious that you want to be able to share? Is there something about Christmas that is awakening within you that says, and they ran off to find what had been revealed to them? God interrupts in order to disrupt. God interrupts in order to inspire. And finally, God interrupts your life in order to transform it. In order to transform it. These are common shepherds. These are people that they say, we can't find anything else for them to do, so at least let them go out and stand in the field with the sheep. And yet these people had a story to tell. A story of faithfulness, a story of God breaking into the world. They had found their voice. They had found a reason to get up in the morning. They had found a reason to go into the town and say, you've got to see what God is doing. We have become the silent majority. We have become a people that have a story that can change the world, and yet we haven't found our voice yet. We haven't found the ability to invite other people to go into the town and share it, to be able to go and proclaim what Christmas is really all about. I shared last week that story that I saw in the newspaper of a woman that went to Walmart and saw a nativity, and she said, you know what they're bringing into Christmas now? Religion. Religion had always been there. We've just forgotten to share it. We've forgotten to create that story in each of us. What is your story? What is it that God has revealed to you? These are common shepherds, and they go back, and all who heard their story, everyone who heard their story, their account, were amazed at what they said. It was their private, personal testimony. Each of you has a personal testimony of life and of struggles and of pain and of redemption and of hope and of joy and of community. We have a story that is worth telling. And God is trying to transform you from a silent majority to a vocal chorus of affirmations. How can we this Christmas go out and tell just one person? Invite one person to experience what God has done. We often think of the shepherds and we think of that very idyllic nativity scene of the shepherds. And I have this picture of a shepherd with the sheep that's kind of over his shoulders and he's carrying. It's just this kind of very idyllic scene. And yet Luke's gospel pictures something completely different. These shepherds, these commoners, have become the greatest evangelists of the story of Christmas. And I wonder this morning whether you can identify with the shepherds. Maybe too much of your life has been here at that plain of just watching sheep, watching the markets go up and down, watching your career, watching your possessions go up and watching them go down, building a family, working on this level. And God is trying to say, I'm trying to elevate your gaze a little bit. I'm trying to lift you up a little bit, see something grander than all of that. Because if all that you have is sheep, then everything is for sale. If all that you have is your house and your cars and your possessions, then everything will wear out, including you, and eventually it'll get thrown out. But if you have something profound worth living for, that God is with us and moving in our world, and that you know and you've been aware and you've experienced it yourself, then everybody who hears that story will be amazed. And they will come and find for themselves and create their own story. And they'll leave behind the fields of sheep and of goats. And they'll come into a fellowship that experiences joy all the time. Christmas is about your personal awakening. Don't just go through the motions. Don't just go through the habits of wrapping presents and putting them under the tree. Understand that God is doing an awakening within you. Now, I often wonder what would have happened if the shepherds would have gone to Mary and Joseph and they'd have seen the baby and said, well, that was very nice, and went right back to their old routines and didn't share that story. But God had stirred something in them, and they had a profound message to share. I think we do too. And I know that you do. We have to get out and share it, whether it's in a Sunday school class, whether it's in church life, whether it's getting involved in a mission project. Be about the work that God has given you, and you will find Christmas coming alive in you each and every day. Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks this morning for the joy of being in fellowship with you and with one another. We ask, O God, that you continue to lift us up. May we hear the voice of angels in our own life and in our own family. May we realize that we're not just about getting more and faster and better, but there's something profound that is happening, something noble and something worthy, and something that is uniquely personal. You're calling us, O God, and we can hear the voices in our ears. Help us to listen. In Jesus' name, amen.